I'm Howard Chapman, and I will be chairing this committee of planning and development for our normal chairperson, Councilmember Whitley. This is the Planning Development Committee meeting for Monday, April 5th, 2021. And I believe we have a quorum. The next item on the agenda is approval of minutes of the March 1st, 2021 meeting.
For approval?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes for March 2021. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All those in favor of approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All is opposed. Next item of business is public comments. We would hear from anyone for 2 minutes that would like to be heard on our agenda. There are no public hearings on our agenda, so if anyone would like to speak, now's the time to do it. Seeing none, come on up. Please give us your name and address.
Morning or good afternoon, Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court. And I see there's a deferral of the potential development in the Phillips community. And I wasn't here for the previous meeting, but I want to add my comments that changing that zoning is the absolute wrong thing to do. They are up for being nominated for the National Register, and changing their zoning will totally mess that up. They have also have an application into the Charleston County Planning Department to be able to take advantage of some new zoning that will protect their area a lot better. And this would totally mess that up. And if I drove out there, if you want to see some beautiful area that you don't want to get messed up, especially for these people, go out there and take a look at it sometime. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to be heard? Come on up. Give us your name and address, please.
Good afternoon. Ben Trawick, 268 Quint Street. I'm the president of the Bayview Acres Civic Club. The Queens Court developers came to the Civic Club board asking for our support. We were enthusiastic at first, genuinely. But after 3 years of bait and switch, 3 years of conceptual drawings for pie-in-the-sky projects that could never get built, 3 years of bullying and threats, 3 years of game playing and destroyed trust, the Civic Club board voted to oppose the rezoning. Faced with that fact, at this committee's March meeting, the developers, who you'll hear from later, took the absurd position that the Civic Club, who they approached as the community's representative, somehow didn't speak for the neighborhood. And they asked for one more month to secure the community support, which y'all afforded them. To secure the community support, the developer handed around this flyer door to door right after y'all's March meeting. And among its many shortcomings is the fact that it contains the developer's most recent and most appalling threat, and that is, oh, if y'all don't support us, we're going to explore the town's affordable housing initiatives as a threatening alternative. And how badly this cynical and tone-deaf approach misjudged the good people of Bayview Acres, who do not fear affordable housing, is reflected in this petition, which is signed by 82 residents of Bayview Acres. So that's the Civic Club board opposing, 82 residents of the community urging you to deny the application. And of course, there's the fact that the Planning Commission unanimously recommended denying this application. They're not all wrong. The only people that I know of who support this project are the developers themselves. Now, Mr. Chapman, Councilman Chapman, you suggested at the last meeting, and I think rightly, that something's got to be done to that property. It's a bit of an eyesore. We've been transparent about that fact from the beginning, and we get that it's going to be redeveloped at some point. And at some point, a competent, a capable, and a transparent developer is going to come forward with a project about which they are candid and open, that is truly a mutually beneficial project, And at that time, they're going to find willing partners in the Bayview Acres community, just as we were willing partners initially with these folks. But that is not this project. That is not these developers. So I urge you, please, to go with the 82 members of the 82 residents who urge you to oppose this, to deny this, with the Planning Commission, and with the Civic Club Board to deny this application, and let's get a good project in there when it makes sense. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to be heard? Yes, sir. Come up and give us your name and address.
Brett Woodward, 368 Beresford Woods Lane, and owner of
Queens Court. I'm sorry, can you give me your name again?
Brett Woodward.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, as an owner of Queens Court and one that has explored the option of redeveloping that site, it has Mr. Trawick's comments earlier, I find interesting. We have agreed to everything they had asked of us at the Civic Club. We prepared a list of deed restrictions which would limit the density to less than 10 units per acre at their request. We put a ceiling, a cap on the height for that property. We also agreed to 2.7 parks per unit. We agreed to a whole list of laundry items that they provided to us, which included monetary payment for some improvements within the community. And at some point, and that was, we're not sure. We're not sure exactly what turned, but we have given them everything we have they have asked for. And additionally, we spent the last couple of weekends going around talking to neighbors within the neighborhood of Bayview, and we found it to be 100% supportive of a redevelopment, but everyone agreed that they would like to see something done there. And it became also very apparent that a narrative has been created that we couldn't be trusted or whatever the case may be, and therefore they were a little skeptical. I think after us discussing it with them and showing them the copy of the deed restrictions, which I think were provided to you as well as a copy of the conceptual plans, that we were going to do everything that they asked and we were going forward in good faith to do everything, and that the design component of this project was subject to the design review board at the town of Mount Pleasant. And it made no sense for us from a business perspective to go and design a project full architectural plans on something that may or may not get rezoned. And with the design review board, they would have opportunity for input. All seemed to be very favorable of that aspect. The thing that became kind of alarming to us were that there were some people who were fearful of reaching out to the town to support the project because of a backlash that can occur on social media that they've experienced before, whether it was their businesses or whether them personally and professionally. And that caused some people to pull back. However, I believe we have received some support for this project and others who claim that they would do so. But once again, I'll reiterate that there is a deed document that would put deed restrictions on the property that would limit the density to what is 10 units per acre, which is far less than what is allowed today and even less than what is going to be proposed to council next week. The height on the ceiling for height is we have actually told them we would bring that down from 45 feet to 40 feet, which is less than what is allowed on the Coleman Boulevard overlay for this area. And then the other deed restrictions that would apply to the property going forward as we progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woodward. Would anyone else like to be heard? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is budget review for fiscal year 2022. Ms. Farrell.
Good afternoon. Sorry, my mask is stuck in my earring. There we go. I'm going to review the Planning Department budget with you, our last department budget of the day. You will see in the information that has already been shared with you, there's rather significant decrease in the budget for the planning department, but that is almost entirely within the salaries and compensation line, and that is a result of the restructuring that occurred this past year with the removal of both the building inspections as well as some engineering staff over to the EDS department. So that accounts for the 18%, almost $450,000 change in this particular department. You all have seen several presentations on the budget today, and so the same with respect to salaries, the potential for compensation for this coming year is also presented within the planning department, which reflects right now a 2% increase for compensation for all positions, as well as 1% for the mandated retirement. There are no new proposed positions for this department, and they still do have a frozen part-time position within this department. Other than that, everything pretty much remained flat. The only one thing that I would like to point out is the contractual services line, and you've been seeing this for the past couple of years, but there is continued to be funding in contractual service specific to the implementation of the comprehensive plan, as well as some of our special area studies. So that there's $200,000 for the zoning code update and $50,000 for comprehensive plan implementation. And so that's it for the planning department's budget. With respect to CIP and then capital maintenance, planning department does not have any capital improvement projects, but they do have a couple of CMP projects that are recurring every year. There is money in the budget for ADA upgrades, and so as we make improvements to some of our facilities, there's opportunities for funding there. There is additional monies in there for bike and pedestrian improvements, and then annually there's always money in there for our historical commission for some of their efforts, usually the markers, or sometimes they have other promotional efforts for our history. And then finally, there is just one replacement vehicle for the department for this coming year, and replacing one of their pool cars with a Ford Escape. And that is that's it for the planning department's budget. Pretty straightforward, but I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Does any member of the committee have any questions? I have one, and
yes,
that deals with an increase in the number of inspectors in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that we're doing? Is that a held back position? I thought I heard something about that occurring with this budget.
No. Well, first of all, there's not. Are you talking about a code enforcement officer or
code enforcement?
There's not a proposal for an additional code enforcement officer. We were maintaining our same staff level. However, with the new priorities for the planning department specific to the neighborhoods and livability,
right,
we are working very closely, Ms. Reed and then Ms. Boyles, who's running that particular division, to start to enhance our code enforcement efforts, and there'll be a lot more coordination back with our other departments and some new initiatives for code enforcement.
Okay.
No new staff.
Maybe that's what I heard.
Probably. Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, do I have a motion for a recommendation?
I'll make a motion that we recommend this budget.
To the
full council.
To the budget.
Second.
Committee.
So
motion made and seconded to recommend the planning department budget to the budget committee. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is old business. Ms. Reed.
Yes, sir. Thank you. First item under old business is actually for Covington at Park West. This is for an annexation and a zoning to come into the PD. They have requested another deferral to the May committee meeting, and I forwarded that to you. And so that's all I have.
Would someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to grant the deferral.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to grant the deferral for items A and B?
A and B, yes.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries to defer both items 5A and 5B. Next item is 5C, rezoning case R37-20.
So this was deferred, this has been deferred since January, actually. It did come from Planning Commission in December, where it received a recommendation for denial 8-1. It is a request to rezone these parcels here. You can see them over on Coleman Boulevard at the intersection of Houston Northcutt. It is approximately 2.9 acres. It consists of 11 parcels, and it's currently improved with 22 duplexes on site. What they would like to do, the current zoning is R3, which only allows for duplex units. What they would like to do is rezone to TH Townhouse District and to bring it into the Coleman Boulevard Overlay District. And just to kind of get your, let me get to the map here. So you can see again here, this is the Boulevard Overlay District map. As I mentioned, the properties are in the brown along Coleman Boulevard. They're currently R3. They are just outside of the Overlay District. You can see adjacent across on Harbor Gate, where you start to see that hatched, those hatched lines, and then across the street also, that's all Boulevard Overlay District. So it's immediately adjacent and across the street. So they are requesting to come into the Overlay District. As I said, the current zoning is R3, which does only allow for duplex units. They have requested to come into the overlay for a couple of reasons. We talked it through in the beginning, and they were just going to come into the overlay and maintain that R3 zoning, which if they moved forward in that path, they would still be able to do the townhouses. But should something happen with the Boulevard Overlay District, should it change or go away, that use would be non-conforming. So the best path forward really was to go TH Townhouse District, which does only allow townhouses. That way the underlying zoning would be in place, and then also come into the Boulevard Overlay District. And as I mentioned, the Overlay District does expand uses. So it does allow townhouses, multifamily, and detached dwelling units. Additionally, the ordinance states that residential uses located on any parcel in the Boulevard Overlay District are subject to the BOD density. Right now, the way our ordinances are written, you're allowed 16 units per acre if it's residential, and then if it's mixed use, you're allowed to do 20 units per acre. I did mark this, though, because later in our agenda, there is a text amendment, so I wanted to bring that up because it is relevant. We currently have a text amendment that received unanimous approval by Planning Commission to, it's sort of a quick fix, to lower the density in the Boulevard Overlay District. If that goes through as proposed, it would lower it to 12 units per acre. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. I'm gonna talk about as if it's currently at 16 units per acre, but if that text amendment goes through, it's going to be in place and be in effect prior to any sort of development plan approval. The future land use map does designate this area for traditional residential neighborhood land uses, which does certainly recommend townhouse and duplex dwelling units. So the request is appropriate. And then, as I mentioned on the Boulevard Overlay District map, surrounding properties are zoned for residential and commercial. They are improved with a mix of single family, multifamily, and commercial, and then they are adjacent to the Overlay District. And I kind of wanted to put some things in perspective because currently, as I said, the maximum allowed is 46 townhouse units, 16 units an acre, 2.9 acres. When you start looking at, and just to kind of keep it realistic, when you start talking about the maximum achieved, that's really kind of, you know, obviously that's in the maximum density achieved. But when you start looking at all of the other development standards and the requirements, it's really not a reality. So I kind of wanted to put it in perspective. And again, take out that text amendment that's coming, which would limit it to 34 units. So right now we're at 2.9 acres. without doing any changes, without rezoning and coming into the overlay, that affords 17 units on this property. Right now, there are 22 duplexes. So what they have right now could not be built today. Proposed is a rezone from R3 to TH, which is that underlying zoning. That alone will not change the density or the height or anything. Coming into the Boulevard Overlay District, that gives them height from 35 feet to 45 feet. And then it also gives them that density from 6 units an acre to 16 units an acre. So when you look at the height and the density and then the uses allowed, we've got this maximum theoretical in the black text, which says 46 townhouse units. After setting aside approximately 25% for infrastructure, your open space, and your activity zone, which while the Boulevard Overlay District allows additional density and additional height, it also requires other things such as open space and those sorts of things. And so there are other requirements that sort of restrict the use as well. So after setting aside all of that, it would be more likely that they could only achieve 35 units. And what we did was compare it to what we were talking about earlier in the Economic Development Committee, which is the Gregory Ferry Workforce Housing. That ended up being 36 units on 2.98 acres. And this development was not in the Boulevard Overlay District. So they didn't have to set aside the 8% open space. They won't have to do an activity zone. So that kind of puts it in perspective for what you can really achieve with all of your infrastructure and your development standards. And while the applicant has indicated they will subsequently redevelop the townhouse units on the properties, this request before you is for rezoning only. Should the rezoning get approved and they become TH and in the overlay district, they would have to go through our design review process and they would have to meet all of those requirements. And I am happy to answer any questions that you may have. That's all I have.
Does anyone have any questions of Ms. Reed?
I do, but you guys go first.
Well,
go ahead. Am I going first? Michelle, I hate to ask, but just for me to understand again. So if we leave it at R3,
mm-hmm.
they would, somebody could still redevelop this and come to us with something that maybe the neighbors would be more inclined to agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it could be done, but it's going to go up to 12 units per acre.
Well, not if the zoning right now stays in place. So if this zone request before you today is denied, they under the current zoning at R3 and not in any overlays, they're allowed 6 units an acre.
Okay.
So there's a couple of things, and we've talked about this sort of, you know, from the developer's perspective, sort of the worst case scenario, what can we do if we don't get this rezoning? And if you'll recall, we recently adopted the nonconformities ordinance, which has that whole 50%, you know, this would be due to wear and tear, it's normal wear and tear and neglect and those sorts of things. And then you have that rolling 50 where you can't exceed it over a 5-year period. And so we've talked about the option of if they could fix up what they had there, if they tore it down, what could they do? But blank slate, what's there now, you're only allowed to do duplexes and it's 17 units total on that entire parcel.
Okay. So can I move to deny now?
Did you want to be heard before?
Well,
or ask any questions? I'm sorry.
I might ask a question. Okay, you said that it's 2.9 acres. Is that what it is?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they can do how many duplexes? It's less.
Well, right now it's split up into 11 parcels, and each has a duplex. Mm-hmm. So there's 22 duplex units. But yeah, if they were to tear that down and rebuild, they couldn't do 22. They could only do 17.
17. Okay. And that property does not allow them to build anything facing Coleman Residential. It's not allowed to go. Is there any rule there now?
I know with overlays, it changes. There's rules for access and rear load. Yeah, our design review would look at that. It's not so much the way it faces. It's their rear access and those sorts of things. There's a lot of criteria that wouldn't necessarily apply unless it's brought into the Boulevard Overlay District, though. That's where you have a lot of extra standards with your residential units, your townhouse units.
Now, if they had asked for like R4, that's how many units per acre?
That wouldn't change the density. R4 would allow only single-family detached.
Yeah.
And the density would be the same, 6 units
oh, the
per
same.
Acre. Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe R4 had a higher...
No. What it allows is smaller lot sizes as opposed to R1 or R2. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to visualize different scenarios. Okay.
Okay. I've got a couple of questions before we go into the motion.
Okay.
First of all, we heard the representatives for the project indicate that they would agree to 10 units per acre as part of a deed restriction. Am I correct?
That's what they have said, yeah.
Okay. And with any of these other scenarios, would we have the open space and what's been suggested could happen on Coleman Boulevard? I mean, there's a very nice park area that's mm-hmm. been proposed for Coleman Boulevard. Is that not correct?
In their conceptual plan, they did show that. The 8% open space would not be required if this doesn't come into the overlay.
So we wouldn't have the potential for the open space.
Correct.
Okay. And then finally, I know I received a letter from the vice president mm-hmm. of the neighborhood association, I think we all did, indicating support. When the item was taken to the Planning Commission, how much of this new information was included?
I don't recall any, it's been December, I don't recall any correspondence in favor. And if not, the developer can correct me if I'm wrong. If I recall, they had predominantly been working with the head of the HOA. I think throughout the process, they realized that it wasn't really an HOA. It was a civic club, which is it was functioning a little bit differently. And perhaps they discovered that the communication wasn't, they felt like they were communicating just with a small group of people instead of the entire neighborhood. I think that has developed throughout the process, but the owner can speak a little bit more to that. But that's my recollection of kind of what's occurred over the last 6 months.
Question, Howard. So
yes,
you were
ma'am.
Mentioning that they had said they would go down to 10, but isn't that, I mean, once we change the zoning, right, we can't go back and make them do that?
No, I think it has to do with a deed restriction
yeah.
that they would place on it rather than what we're looking at. It'd be separate. Okay. That's why I was asking how much
right.
of this had been brought to the Planning Commission when this was back in December.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's willing to make a motion,
I'll make a motion to deny
before we have any more discussion.
I'll second.
Okay, motion made to deny and has been seconded. Under discussion, I'll start the discussion. I think this is a project that would make Mount Pleasant better. And I say that because of what it does to Coleman Boulevard. I also think that we have the opportunity to do something with a terrible eyesore on Coleman Boulevard, which is where I'm coming from. We've got vice president of the neighborhood association supporting it and giving us reason for debating, use that nice word, mm-hmm. of what really is coming from the neighborhood and what isn't coming from the neighborhood and what's being held back from the neighborhood. I could go with something a little less then 29 or 28 units down to 25, just because we could get what has been proposed for that part of Coleman Boulevard to really spruce it up, to spruce it up to something that we would like our Coleman Boulevard drive-through to look like. And for that reason, I'm going to vote no on the motion. Obviously, I'm going to be in the minority, but I just want to put that on the record because I think this is a worthwhile project. I think it's something that there is reason for questioning what the neighborhood would like to see. They've come down in height, they've come down in numbers, and we're still getting the beautification of Coleman Boulevard. So
just one more thing. So
yes, ma'am. Ms. Corley.
Does someone, I know that in all the stuff we've read about it, somebody mentioned that mentioned as a benefit for doing this, that the need, the roommate situation would be lessened and there would be less cars parked in the driveways. Did somebody email us that?
I think we got that maybe from the vice president. It's something that there were a number of items that the neighborhood initially asked for.
Right.
That the developers agreed to do.
I'm just thinking, so who the price of these properties are going to go up, right? So are we taking some affordable housing off the table?
I'm not sure this right now is being planned as affordable housing. Am I incorrect, Ms. Reed?
No, I mean,
currently.
Like, are these properties that maybe people aren't going to be able to afford if we do this because they're going to cost a lot more and we're going to be, it's kind of like that, you know, are we, I know it's going to be more beautiful, but are we taking away an opportunity for somebody to afford to live here by, that's just another thought. Anyway, I'm ready.
I don't have an answer to that, but.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Does that
make sense? Mm-hmm.
I do. Any other discussion?
Nope.
Okay. Motion made and seconded. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. The ayes have it. Next item.
This is a proposal to amend the Town of Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances. This was presented earlier at the Finance Committee, but it's, because it deals with planning in chapters 155 and 156, it is coming before you all today as well. And this is all part of the restructuring to change department titles and responsibilities. And Mr. Pagliarini is here if you want to hear more from him. I did put a couple of slides up just so you could kind of see that this is all really about cleaning it up. Instead of planning and engineering services, we now have plan and then we have engineering and development service. So most of it was just language, cleaning it up, who was responsible for what. And so as you can see, this is predominantly what this pertains to. But if you have questions, we're happy to answer those.
Ms. Reed, this was also on PJ&L, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
Yep. Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve changes to chapters 155 and 156, Town of Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ayes have it. Next item, item 6B as in boy.
Okay. This next amendment is also before you to change two sections in Chapter 156, the first pertaining to density, the second pertaining to the change of town boundaries. And this really kind of came to light with our newly adopted comprehensive plan. As you'll recall, we get a lot of annexations that don't go to commission because they're not requesting a zoning district. They come straight to you and then to town council. And before we adopted our new comprehensive comp plan, if you were designated as community conservation on our future land use map, you would automatically come in as community conservation zoning. Well, with our new adopted comp plan, our future land use designation that used to be community conservation is now very similar to and called the settlement community land use. And so what happened was, because those references were no longer consistent, everything was coming in as R1. And so this is kind of a quick fix. As was mentioned during the budget discussion, we are working on an overall zoning code rewrite, but there were some things that needed to be fixed more quickly than the code rewrite will be able to bring. And so the first part for density is just really, it's not changing the density, it's just changing the names on our future land use map designation to match our new comprehensive plan. And then the second part really accomplishes what we just talked about, which was the change of town boundaries. And we did a couple things here. One, if you're recommended for settlement community, you're going to come in as CC, community conservation. If you're recommended for conservation marsh and wetlands, you're going to come in as conservation open space. And then if you're recommended for recreation open space, you're going to come in as conservation recreation open space. Everything else will come in R1 unless you do request a different zoning and council takes action on that and gives you that zoning. And what we also wanted to do, you know, for several years now, this comes up when you have a property that automatically annexes in, and for instance, it's in the 6 mile community. It does not automatically get that Sweetgrass Basket Overlay District designation. So we wanted to kind of address that again as a quick fix, so that if you are within an area designated as part of the Town Overlay District, Planning Commission and Town Council shall consider an ordinance to also apply that overlay. So instead of automatically coming in and not getting the overlay, you would come in and you would apply that overlay and it would take action from council. And so that's what this text amendment does, and that's all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions?
Move to approve.
Move for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Motion made and seconded to approve the text amendment for item 6C. We're on C, right?
Yes.
6C?
On to C, yeah.
Well, 6B then.
6B. Sorry. 6B.
And any discussion? My only discussion is, this is something that we've been asked about a few times lately and hadn't been able to do it. So that's a great thing that we'll have that opportunity once it goes to council. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Sign. Mike. Ayes have it. On to item 6C.
Okay, this is another text amendment, also kind of a quick fix while we do our overall zoning code rewrite, and that is to address the densities allowed by our Boulevard Overlay District, section 318 in chapter 156. And so this is an excerpt from our new comprehensive plan, which talks about density. And you have the neighborhood community and the redevelopment centers. And density is referenced and talked about in the comp plan, obviously with regards to limited residential, and then workforce or senior housing will be 30%. But where it really speaks specifically to density in the comprehensive plan is in the redevelopment centers, and it says 1 unit per acre. And so based on that, and based on a section that we already have in our zoning code, so we were trying to be consistent while we did this quick fix, in that right now, take the overlay, everything out of the picture. If you have a property where you're able to do multifamily and it's a conditional use, you're limited to 12 units per acre. And so we thought we wanted to be consistent without changing this section of the ordinance too. And so what we proposed was, instead of that 16 units per acre, which is allowed now in the overlay district, or if you're mixed use, 20 units per acre, we would drop it down to 12 units per acre to to be consistent with the principal use conditions, except where the comprehensive plan future land use map specifically recommends in the redevelopment centers that you're one unit per acre. And so again, that's what we're proposing. We think it's a reasonable fix, and it helps us not have to change other sections of the ordinance. But this is obviously something that we will want to look at as we do the zoning code rewrite. That 12 may be something different, but we wanted to kind of keep it consistent with what's allowed through our principal use conditions right now. And so I'm happy to answer your questions.
Any questions, Ms. Reed? Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made and seconded to approve item 6C. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item 6C is approved. 6D is in Delta.
Mr. Mitchell is going to present this.
Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This originated from the Planning Commission at their request to address some of the concerns that they were experiencing with just only subdivisions in the Old Village area. This only pertains to the special stormwater management area. So staff, at their request, did some research. this slide being from one of the meetings that we held, we listed some of the pros and cons of having the old two-step process where the applicant would come forward with a sketch plan 1 month. If they had a favorable decision, then they would come back to them for the next month to get the stormwater plan approved. We looked at that. the reason that we decided against that is mainly the pros are listed on the left, the cons are listed on the right. Is the second con from the right. The potential unintended consequences of the Planning Commission delaying scrutiny after a plan has obtained vested rights, meaning that once they move forward with an approved sketch plan, the Planning Commission therefore would actually be obligated to approve something, even though if the stormwater hasn't been completely worked out on the second attempt. So what we decided to do is propose some changes to the chapter 152, which is the flood prevention chapter, to make or to have the applicant submit more detail stormwater related items such as topography, proposed final grade elevations where their potential building is going to be located, any areas designated for detention if deemed applicable upon further engineering study, and the location of all stormwater related infrastructure such as inlets and channels, just more details for them to look at during the subdivision request. They felt like they were just seeing the subdivision. There was a lot of open-ended questions about how the stormwater was going to be managed, and we feel like that having all that information provided at one meeting instead of having two meetings where it could potentially could create a vested rights situation was the best decision, and the Planning Commission recommended that we move forward with this amendment to 152. Just as an example, this is pulled from one of our single-family residential drainage plans. It has a lot more details on it. This would be presented after the subdivision request, so the Planning Commission wouldn't see this. But if this were to move forward, then they would be looking at something very similar to this. So it does require the owner or the developer that's wanting the subdivision request to think through some of the master planning of how their stormwater is going to be related. And again, this is another example. It shows a pre and a post showing the existing drainage pattern, and then the post showing potentially where underground detention could be located on the site and still develop the property. So what that does, it forces them to think through how this is going to be developed in the very beginning. It gives the Planning Commission more information and the residents to more information as well on the subdivision request. That concludes it.
Any questions?
I like it.
I think it's a great idea.
Awesome.
Would somebody like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve. motion to approve.
Item 6D is in Delta.
Item 6D.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve item 6D as in Delta. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Item 6D is approved for submittal to council.
Good job, Alan.
I don't think there's anything else to come before the committee, so I'll declare the meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Good job, guys. Thank you.